Amen. Praise the Lord for that special. The children presented to us tonight, and you could tell that was Crystal's daughter that said, I think it's a little bit too much work for one day, but we surely appreciate all the work that they put into preparing for that, because no doubt that was a tremendous blessing to all of us here tonight. I want to follow up on the message they just presented to you. If you'd look with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. The message they just presented, I think, is what the Bible gives us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to be reading verse 12 down to verse 22 tonight. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this evening, we thank you, Lord, for just the opportunity to be in church. Thank you for our young people, the children that have childlike faith. No doubt each one of them was a part of this tonight in their own little hearts, knowing that Jesus resurrected from the grave. Being able to present that message to us tonight, thank you for that. And now as we look into this passage of Scripture, Lord God, I pray that you would give each one of us that insight into your holy word. I ask that you would anoint and empower the preaching once again this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As the Apostle Paul was writing to the church and to those there in Corinth, the city of Corinth, some at Corinth had said that there was no such thing as the resurrection of the dead. They did not want to believe that there was life after death. Possibly the oldest question of the human mind: is there truly life beyond the grave? There's no doubt that if you have not really thought much about that, at some point you will. I think the older we get, the closer we come to leaving this world, I think we become more aware of the fact that I am going to leave this world. And is what I put my faith in, is it real? Is there truly a heaven to gain? Is there truly life after death? The greatest event, I believe, in the history of mankind is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It sets Christianity apart from all other faiths and beliefs. We preached on this morning, the foundation for all biblical preaching is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The foundation. It's what we need to understand. That's what we need to present to all humanity. The resurrection of Jesus Christ provides confirmation. How many here tonight's ever flown on a commercial airline? Can you remember how many times you had to confirm that you were who you said you were? And you cannot fly on a commercial airline unless you can confirm and show evidence that you are who you say you are. That's why all of us carry an ID of some sort. Hopefully, you're able to have a driver's license, and if you have a driver's license, if it's a picture ID, that's what you have to have. Then when you get your picture ID out, they'll look at you, and then they'll look at the picture, then they'll look back at you and try to figure out, is this really you? And so make sure that when you have your picture taken that you have a good representation of what you look like. Amen? Because sometimes I look at mine and I think, I don't know that I could identify myself with that picture there. But anyway, it is confirmation. When you get out your ID and you show it to them, it's confirmation that you are who you say you are. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is confirmation of so many things. And Paul addresses those here in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. It confirms that all that Jesus taught must be true. Yeah. If you do not believe in the resurrection, then Christ is not your Savior. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's how he began this chapter, is understanding that you can't be saved unless you believe what Jesus taught was true. And Jesus confirmed that what he was teaching was true by his resurrection from the grave. In chapter 15, verses 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand." The gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, by which also ye are saved. You can't be saved outside of believing that Jesus died on Calvary's cross in your stead. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He paid your debt for sin, a debt that you owed and could not pay. Jesus Christ came. It was God manifested in the flesh. He came to pay your sin debt so that he might, through his shed blood, offer whosoever will everlasting eternal life. Yes. So, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So if you do not believe that Jesus Christ did not resurrect from the grave, then you cannot be saved. If you're here tonight and you've never put your faith and trust in a resurrected Savior, knowing that he died in your stead, then you are not saved. In order to get saved, you have to first of all realize that you're lost and on your way to a devil's hell. You have to believe in hell. You have to understand that hell is a real place. And you have to believe that because of the wages of sin, I deserve eternal damnation because I'm a sinner and the payment for my sin is eternal damnation, but Jesus Christ came to pay my sin debt. And he paid it on Calvary's cross some 2,000 years ago. It is in the history books. It is something that is uncontested as far as Jesus Christ being crucified on a cross He died. Spent 3 days in a tomb. And after the end of the 3 days, he resurrected just as he said. As a Christian nation who has adopted the Christian calendar, we have it on our calendar so that we can look at that and set that date aside and say, that is to prove to everybody, because it's on our calendar, that we want to acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave. Yeah. If you don't believe in his resurrection, then you're not saved. If you don't believe in his resurrection, then preaching is vain. And it'd be foolish to come to church to hear somebody get up there and rant and rave and call you a sinner and tell you that you need to repent and tell you that the only way that you're going to get to heaven is through the blood of Jesus Christ. If Jesus didn't resurrect, then what I do for a living, what I do as being called by God to preach the word of God, is foolishness. It's in vain. It's empty. If you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then all believers are liars. We've been deceived. That's what it says, if you look back there in verse 15, that's exactly what the Bible's saying here. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. What you have put your faith in is empty, and what you try to share as your faith is empty. There's nothing to it, and you're deceiving other people by telling them that they need to be saved. If he didn't resurrect, if he did not resurrect, if you don't believe in that, then all who die perish. They just perish. Verse 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep, and that's the way the Bible reveals that have died in Christ, are no more. They're just gone. Never see them again. Life is over. There's no life beyond the grave. I remember, and I'll never forget, I was out soul winning many years ago. And I asked somebody, I said, if you was to die today, do you know where you're going to spend your eternity? And he said, yes. And I said, you do? And he said, yes. I said, where? He said, at the bottom of the ocean. I said, the bottom of the ocean? He said, yes. He said, I'm a retired Navy man. When I die, I'm going to have them take my body and put it over the ship, and I just want it to sink and land at the bottom of the ocean. He thought that was all. There wasn't any life beyond the grave. So he thought his eternity, he would be laying on the bottom of the ocean. How sad. How sad. But if you don't believe in the resurrection, then all who have died have just perished. And not only that, but if you don't believe in the resurrection, then you have to understand and believe that everyone who lives as if there is a resurrection are miserable. You're denying yourself of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Verse 19, it says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, if all we're doing is living the Christian life and all it's going to affect is this life only, we are of all men most miserable. Wow. I'm telling you, that really is depressing. And anyone that does not believe in the resurrection is going to be a very depressed individual. Because you can't have any of these. You can't believe any of these things. Things are true. But, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Paul says, I'm here to tell you that he did not vanish. Somebody did not steal away his body. He resurrected from the dead just as he said. Can I tell you the best way to prove that God can raise the dead is to actually do it. And he did it. He resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead just as he said, confirming that all that he taught was true. It was true 2,000 years ago. It's still true today. More believed in it 2,000 years ago, and Christianity has had more respect over the years in these 2,000 years than possibly what we even have in today's society in America. Our forefathers looked to Christianity and realized this was the truth, and they believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they believed in freedom, and they believed in religious liberties, and so they devised the coming together, and God put his hand upon them and enabled them, empowered them, and established the United States of America to be a Christian nation that would take the gospel into all the world. And America has been empowered by God because that's exactly what America has stood for since its conception, was that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and we want to be acknowledged as being a Christian nation. Don't let people tell you today that we were not established as a Christian nation. Look at the history ourselves. Look at our Christian calendar. There's so much that we just look to, and we don't let the politicians and don't let the so-called brains of today discourage you into believing what the Bible says is true. Wow. Because it is true, everything Jesus Christ taught is true. He was virgin born. He was the only begotten, one of a kind Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. Heaven and hell are real. Jesus spent more time teaching on the reality of hell than he taught on the reality of heaven. Because we need to understand, without him, that's where we're headed. Without the blood of Christ, that's where all are headed, no matter what their beliefs. Heaven and hell are real. And not only that, but he will return. His resurrection confirms that he told us the truth. Amen. Not only that, but we find right after his resurrection that he ascends into heaven. But before he ascends into heaven, he wants to confirm that he was resurrected. Acts chapter 1. Look there with me. And I'm only going to be just a few more minutes here. Not going to be long tonight. But Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says this. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. I'm helping you to see that everything that he came to do and teach was true. Until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. After the resurrection, Jesus stayed. In between the resurrection and his ascending into heaven, before he would send another comforter, he was a comforter while he was here, and before he would ascend to be able to send the Holy Spirit to be part of every believer's life as he comes to indwell within us, and he's been doing that for some 2,000 years now, before he would ascend, he wanted to prove that he had resurrected, and so now he has seen meeting with his disciples for 40 days after the resurrection. And for those 40 days, he's instructing them who now, as they look upon the resurrected Savior, are not afraid any longer. They're not hiding in an upper room any longer. They're not doubting whether what they had put their faith in was true or not. They were doubting the time after he was crucified, and they were doubting during that time of the crucifixion for those 3 days. But once and after they saw the resurrected Savior, not one of the apostles that followed him after that turned back. Not one of them had doubt in their mind. Not one of them was afraid of the government. Not one of them stood against to stop teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of them suffered some type of martyrdom because of their belief in Jesus Christ. So we find that he stays 40 days before his ascension. And then look at verse 9. And when he had thus had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Not only did they see him before his crucifixion, not only did they look upon his resurrected body, which he ate with them and conversed with them and revealed eternal things to them. Now they would see him ascend. Wonder where the body of Jesus Christ is? The Bible's confirming where it's at. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into the heavens." And thus we are instructed to always be ready for his soon return. His ascension back to heaven after visibly revealing himself is confirmation. It's confirmation that what he taught them was true. There's one other thing that is confirmation that has been confirmation for some 2,000 years. And that is not only the establishing of his church, but the establishing of the Lord's Day. Amen. Of that first day of the week. In the Old Testament, they had the Sabbath, and the Sabbath day was a day of rest. Can I tell you, the Sabbath is not the Sunday of the New Testament. Although Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, when Jesus came, he said, we need a day. We need to have a day. I want a day to be able for you to assemble together in my name and worship me in spirit and truth. There is going to be a day that I want you to come and acknowledge as the Lord's day and bring your tithes and offerings to the church in order to keep the storehouse, the church house strong, to be able to do the work that I got the church here to do throughout this New Testament church age, which has been going on for some 2,000 years now. Amen. And so what is also confirmation that what Jesus Christ taught was true, that he is coming again, was the day that he established as the Lord's day and the church that he established to assemble itself together on the first day of the week. Yes. To worship him in spirit and truth. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And this is it. After his resurrection, he had instructed the disciples what day and where he would meet them. They were all there but one. I think everybody knows who that one is, right? What's he called? I wonder why he had doubt. I believe that any one of the apostles that failed to be there on that day would have been known as doubting Peter, doubting John. But they were there. And so when they saw Jesus, his resurrected body, it was confirmation. Thomas wasn't there. He didn't have that confirmation. John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. An upper room experience is what confirmed to the disciples everything that we have received of this man is true. He is the Messiah. He is the very Son of God. He's a resurrected Savior. They all said that because they were there and they saw. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails." Did he not just show that to the others that were there? Yes, he did. "And put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into the side, I will not believe." Can I tell you, if you are not connected to a New Testament church where they are preaching and teaching the Bible, and you are not doing what God tells you to do in supporting the Lord's Day to assemble together and to worship Him in spirit and truth, you're going to have the very same doubt in your faith as does Thomas. Can I tell you that every Sunday is an upper room experience for all believers? Every Sunday we worship a resurrected Savior. Every Sunday we come together and we sing praises unto our God. Every Sunday we come together, we open up the very precious words of God that confirms to us that what we have been taught and what we believe is true. There's a reason He established a day, and it to be the first day of the week. And commands us, don't forsake it. If you want to be strong in your faith, if you want to have all the blessings that I want to bestow upon you, don't forsake your assembly together of yourselves. Jesus knew what the disciples needed. They all needed to experience His presence. They needed to be able to see Him. When we get together on Sundays, can I tell you? I trust that the reason you're coming is not to see somebody else. That's extra benefits. That's the side benefits that come, that you receive by coming to church. I trust you don't come to hear Pastor Tid if you come to this church. But I trust that you focus on seeing Christ. Letting His Spirit bear witness with my spirit and speak to me through what Jesus established as the preaching of the Word, so that my soul is ministered to. Amen. And my soul is strengthened. And I'm better prepared to live by my faith. Yeah. Confirmation. A resurrected Savior. A Savior that ascended into heaven. A Savior that established this church, a New Testament church, and promised throughout this New Testament church age, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He promised heaven and hell, heaven and earth will pass away. My word will not. He's promised, no matter how bad it gets, and as we get closer to the end of this church age, there's going to be great apostasy. We've been taught that. There's going to be antichrist movements all around. But He said, my church will have my blessings, and my word will be available to all who seek after it. Because He knows that's what we need. Confirmation that there is a heaven. There is life after the grave. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't live with doubt. If you live with doubt, you're, of all men, most miserable. If you tried to live the Christian faith without genuine belief, you're miserable. Don't live with doubt. Look to what Jesus Christ has given us to confirm the things he taught to be true. I trust you understand that tonight. In just a minute, we're going to have an invitation. An invitation is an opportunity to respond to whatever God might have spoke to you about. Can I tell you that the Lord knew who was going to be here tonight? This week, this is a message that he placed upon my heart. I knew this was what I was to preach. I didn't know who would hear it, but God did. Have you opened up your heart to let God speak to you? And if he has, will you respond? I trust you will. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord, for what we've enjoyed this evening by being in church. Thank you for the truths that you give to us and the things that are confirmation that we're on the right track, that our beliefs are established and they're real. And they're based upon facts and truth. And I pray tonight, God, for whatever decisions that need to be made, those that might be struggling in the services tonight for whatever reason, as we give this invitation, I pray that you would work in their hearts, that your spirit would bear witness with their spirit, and they would be willing to make whatever decisions. Possibly there's someone here tonight that this might be the last opportunity that you'll give them to be saved. I trust that they'll not pass this opportunity up, but if they're not saved, that they would get saved tonight. Bless in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.